Welcome to Zikudav Siman Ram Goldar, and today Masech is getting Daf Mem Ches, the end of the fourth Perek HaShaleach, and the beginning of the fifth Perek HaNizakin. The Zichur Masech is getting program has been generously sponsored by Zichur Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the Thetavs are going to focus on him. When the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish follow their positions, if Kinyan Peres Kinyan a goof, the ownership of rights to something's produce is tantamount to ownership of the principle itself. In a second case, Hamocher Sadeh Bezman Sheh Yovel Noek, one who sells his field during a time when Yovel is in force. Rabbi Yochanan says the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Psukim, and Reish Lakish says he cannot recite them. Since the buyer will have to return the field in Yovel, his ownership is essentially only a right to its produce. The Gemara explains the novelty of the two machlokasim. Later, Rav Yosef notes that Rav Yochanan holds, Achin shechalku lekuchos hen, brothers who divide an inheritance are considered buyers of their portions, because the portions they receive are in exchange for their unknown true portions. Umakzirin zel azeba yovel, and they must return all divided property to one another at Yovel. Since all brothers then only have a kinyan peres in every divided estate, if Rabbi Yochanan had not held that such ownership is considered like kinyan aguf, and they can recite the Bikurim Psukim, well, Mishkach is the Maisi Bikurim. You will not find anyone who brings Bikurim and recites the Psukim, El Chad Bar Chad Ad Yeshua Ben Nun, except an only son of an only son, and so forth back until the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, when the land was divided, for only such a descendant has full ownership of his property. Point number two, the fifth parak begins, HaNizokin Shaman Lehem Be'idis. Losses of damaged parties are assessed and then paid with superior quality of the responsible party. Ubalcho Be'benonis, and a creditor of a standard debt such as a loan, is paid with average land. Uksubas Isha Be'ziboris, and a woman's ksuba is paid with inferior land. Reb Meir says even a woman's ksuba is paid with Be'nonis. The Mishnah adds that although if the debtor does not have land, one may collect from those who purchased land from him after the debt was incurred, if the debtor does have land, only this land may be collected, even if it's ziburis. Also, whenever a collection is made from inheritors of the debtor, only ziburis may be collected. All these laws are for tikkun olam, societal benefit. And point number three, the law that a damaged party receives edis is included in the Mishnah's list of laws for tikkun olam. The Gemara says that this is a deraisa law, as the pasuk states, meitav sedeh meitav karmo yishalim. He shall pay his best field or his best vineyard. Abai answers that a rabbinic enactment was prudent according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds Midiraisa Bidin Nizak Sheminin. Biblically speaking, we assess edis based on the damaged party's properties, even if the responsible party owns higher grade property. And because of a rabbinic enactment, we instead assess based on the responsible party's properties, enabling a collection of better land. This is Malchokas Hanayim in a Braisa, Meitav Sedeu, Meitav Karmi Yishalim. He shall pay his best field or his best vineyard. Rav Shmuel holds that his means Meitav Sedeu shall nizak or Meitav Karmo shall nizak, the damaged party's best field or the damaged party's best vineyard. Rabbi Kiva says, Lo Bakasav Elikbos Glenazikin Mina Idis. The pasuk only comes to teach to collect for those who are damaged from superior grade land. The Gemara analyzes the Malchokas at length, then ultimately explains that Rav Shmuel means that the responsible party must pay only from land equal in quality to the highest grade land which the damaged party possesses. And Rav Kiva means to say that the responsible party must pay with the highest grade land he himself owns. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish follow their positions. If Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf, the ownership of rights to something's produce is tantamount to ownership of the principle itself. In a second case, Hamocher Sadeh Bezman Sheh Yovel Noek, one who sells his field during a time when Yovel is in force. Rabbi Yochanan says the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Psukim, and Reish Lakish says he cannot recite them. Since the buyer will have to return the field in Yovel, his ownership is essentially only a right to its produce. The Gemara explains the novelty of the two machlokasim. Later, Rav Yosef notes that Rav Yochanan holds, Achin shechalku lekuchos hen, brothers who divide an inheritance are considered buyers of their portions, because the portions they receive are in exchange for their unknown true portions. Umakzirin zel azeba yovel, and they must return all divided property to one another at Yovel. Since all brothers then only have a kinyan peres in every divided estate, if Rabbi Yochanan had not held that such ownership is considered like kinyan aguf, and they can recite the Bikurim Psukim, well, Mishkach is the Maisi Bikurim. You will not find anyone who brings Bikurim and recites the Psukim, El Chad Bar Chad Ad Yeshua Ben Nun, except an only son of an only son, and so forth back until the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, when the land was divided, for only such a descendant has full ownership of his property. Point number two, the fifth parak begins. Hanizokin shaman lehem beidis. Losses of damaged parties are assessed and then paid with superior quality of the responsible party. Ubalcho bebenonis, and a creditor of a standard debt such as a loan is paid with average land. Uksubas isha beziboris, and a woman's ksuba is paid with inferior land. Rabmir says even a woman's ksuba is paid with benonis. The Mishnah adds that although if the debtor does not have land, one may collect from those who purchased land from him after the debt was incurred, if the debtor does have land, only this land may be collected, even if it's ziburis. Also, whenever a collection is made from inheritors of the debtor, only ziburis may be collected. All these laws are for tikkun olam, societal benefit. And point number three, the law that a damaged party receives edis is included in the Mishnah's list of laws for tikkun olam. The Gemara said this is a deraisa law, as the pasuk states, Meitav sedeh umeitav karmel yishalim. He shall pay his best field or his best vineyard. Abai answers that a rabbinic enactment was pertinent according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds Midraisa b'din Nizak Sheminin. Biblically speaking, we assess edis based on the damaged party's properties, even if the responsible party owns higher grade property. And because of a rabbinic enactment, we instead assess based on the responsible party's properties, enabling a collection of better land. This is Malchokas Tanaim in a Braisa. Meitav Sedeu, Meitav Karmi Yishalim. He shall pay his best field or his best vineyard. Rabbi Shmuel holds that his means Meitav Sedeu shall nizak or Meitav Karmo shall nizak. The damaged party's best field or the damaged party's best vineyard. Rabbi Kiva says, Lo bakasav eligbos l'nizik and minaidis. The pasuk only comes to teach to collect for those who are damaged from superior grade land. The Gemara analyzes the Malchukas at length and ultimately explains that Rav Shmuel means that the responsible party must pay only from land equal in quality to the highest grade land which the damaged party possesses. And Rav Kiva means to say that the responsible party must pay with the highest grade land he himself owns. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Ches, and our standard Siman relates to Moach, a brain, and we use brainiacs. Brainiacs are very bright people. So here goes. That brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by a purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, was overshadowed by the brainiac proudly showing off his three different grade lands for different types of creditors chart, who explained the Talmudic discourse whether edis is assessed based on the property of the nizak or mazik. Once again, it's a motion. The brainiac, that must be more on Daf Mem Ches, brainiacs. The brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by the purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, which reminds the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan and Mishalkish father positions, if Kinyan Peres ka Kinyan Guf, in a second case, Hamocher Sadeu Bezman Sheh Yovel Noeg, one who sells his field during a time when Yovel is in force, Rabbi Yochanan says the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Psukim, and Mishalkish says he cannot recite them. Since the buyer will have to return the field in Yovel, his ownership is essentially only a right to its produce. Rabbi Yosef demonstrates Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is reflected in his position that Achin Shechalku Lukuchosen, brothers who divide and inheritance are considered buyers of their portions. So the brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by a purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, was overshadowed by the brainiac proudly showing off his three different grade lands for different types of creditors chart, which reminds us the fifth parak begins, Hanizokin Shamin Lehem Beidis. Losses of damaged parties are assessed and then paid with superior quality of land of the responsible party, Ubalcho Bebeinonis, and a creditor of a standard debt, such as a loan, is paid with average land, Uksubas Isha Biziburs, and a woman's ksuba is paid with inferior land. Ramirez says even a woman's ksuba is paid with benonis. So the brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by a purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, was overshadowed by the brainiac proudly showing off his three different grade lands for different types of creditors chart, who explained the Talmudic discourse whether edis is assessed based on the property of the nizak or mazik, which reminds the Gemara brings the Malchukas Rabbi Shimon Rekiva how edis is assessed for damages, if b'de mazik sheminin or b'de nizak sheminin, whether it's assessed according to the damager's property or whether it's assessed according to the damaged party's properties. So once again, the brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by a purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, was overshadowed by the brainiac proudly showing off his three different grade lands for different types of creditors chart, who explained the Talmudic discourse whether edis is assessed based on the property of the nizak or mazik. All right, so now it's time for four blah chazara. Daf mem dalad. So the simmer daf mem dalad is mud. So here goes. The muddy slave mud. That must be one daf mem dalad. The mighty slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis taught that one who sells a slave to an idolater must buy him back and set him free. A braisa here states that if an idolater forcibly collected the slave for his debt, or an extortionist took him, well, yatzel cheres, he does not go free since he was not willingly sold. So the money slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Asi, Machra Abdu B'meis, one who sold a slave to an idolater and then died, Maushi Yiknesu as Beno Acharav, what's the halacha regarding penalizing a son who inherits the estate to require him to buy back the slave? So the money slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died, from shock when he found out he'd have to refund the money from the muddy field he sold during Yovel, which reminds us, one who sells his field during Yovel itself, during which fields previously sold are returned to the original owners, Shmuel ruled that the sale is not valid and he must refund the money. Daf Mem Hei, so the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. So here goes. The slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board. Monopoly, that must be more on Daf Mem Hei. The slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident where a slave once fled from his master who lived in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael. When the master came to bring him back, Rabbi Ami told him to free him and the slave would pay his value, because he could not force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. This is based on a drush Rabbi Achi bar Rabbi Yoshia, where the Pasuk says, "L'tasker evet el adonav ashi yinatz alecho mi'imanonav." You shall not hand over a slave to his master, a slave who escapes you from his master. So the slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands, which reminds the Mishnah states that one cannot ransom captives for more than their value because of Tikkun Olam, and the Gemara relates the story of Rav Elish discovering that Rav Nachman's daughters, who stirred boiling pots with their hands, were not righteous but were sorcerers. So the slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands, and an idolater writing a Sefer Torah on top of a matching green Monopoly board, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Bein lochin tzvarim tefillin mezuzahs min ovdei kochavim yosher al kedei deman. One may not buy Sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzahs from idolaters for more than their value b'pnei tikkun olam for societal benefit. Three opinions of Tanaim are quoted about using a Sefer Torah written by an idolater. Daf Mem Vav. So the Simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The woman sent away riding on a green cow. Cow? That must be on Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The woman sent away riding on a green cow by her husband, who divorced her because of a bad reputation, which reminds us, the Mishnah in the previous daf taught that one who divorces his wife because of shemra, a bad reputation, meaning rumors of adultery, or because she made a neder, and he doesn't want a wife who makes a neder, he may not remarry her thereafter. Two reasons emerge from the Gemara. In one version, Rabbi Nachman said the reason he cannot remarry is Mishum Kilkula, because of the ruin the husband may cause her after she remarries. In the second version, Rabbi Nachman said the husband must tell his wife he's divorcing her because of the rumors of the neder. He holds the reason he cannot remarry her is Kadesh Yibanos Yisrael Prutzos Ba'arayos B'Nedarim, so that Jewish women should not be lawless regarding illicit relations and Nedarim. Therefore, he must explain why she's being divorced, but he can't remarry her regardless. So the woman sent away riding on a green cow by her husband, who divorced her because of a bad reputation, passed by some Jewish leaders making a public vow to what looked like a group of non-Jewish distant travelers, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Levi explains Rabbi Yehuda's source that a publicly known neder cannot be annulled is based on the fact that Bnei Yisrael did not strike the Gimonim because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them when they falsely presented themselves as distant travelers. Rabbi Yehuda understands that the reason they observed the oath rather than annulling it was because it was known publicly and cannot be annulled. The Rabbanim responded that the oath was never effective in the first place since it was made under false pretenses. The only reason they didn't kill them was because of Kedushas Hashem, the sanctification of Hashem's name, so idolaters should not say the Jews violate their oaths. So the woman sent away riding on a green cow by her husband, who divorced her because of a bad reputation, passed by some Jewish leaders making a public vow to what looked like a group of non-Jewish distant travelers, who owned a Jewish man who sold himself and his sons to them three times in a row and could no longer be redeemed, which reminds us. The last mission on the daf states, Hamokher es atzmo vezbanav lo'ovdei kochavim, one who sells himself and his sons to idolaters, ein podin oso, we do not redeem him or his sons, Valpodin Esabanim Lacher Mises Avihim, but we redeem the sons after the father's death. Ravasi says, Vahushamacher Vashana Vashilesh, this is so where he sold himself, repeated it after being redeemed, and did so a third time. He's not redeemed again because he'll continue to sell himself, relying on the community to redeem him. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The group of cannibals running through the green maze. Maze? That must mean we're in Daf Mem Zayin. The group of cannibals running through the green maze being chased by a rabbi, swinging his knotted bag with a hard ball in it, which reminds us, the Gemara tells us of the man who sold himself to cannibals who was discovered to be Yisrael Mumer, and how Reish Lakish killed the cannibals by tricking them and swinging his bag with a hard ball in it. So the group of cannibals running through the green maze being chased by a rabbi, swinging his knotted bag with a hard ball in it, fell into pits that an idolater was permitted to dig, which reminds the Gemara brings Malchus about an idolater's purchase of land in Eretz Yisrael regarding exempting from miser and digging pits. So the group of cannibals running through the green maze being chased by a rabbi, swinging his knotted bag with a hard ball in it, fell into pits that an idolater was permitted to dig, and never made to the end where buyers of rights to produce were joyously bringing their bikurim and reciting the psukim, which reminds us, the Gemara says, Hamocher Sedei Loperos, one who sells his field regarding rights for its produce. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mevi Vekore, the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Bikurim Psukim. Reish Lakish says, Mevi Ve'eno Kore, he brings Bikurim but does not recite the Psukim. Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan holds, Kinyan Peres Kekinyan Akuftami, the ownership of rights to something's produce is tantamount to ownership of the principle itself. Therefore, he can write the Psukim, which include, quote, the land which you have given me. Reish Lakish holds that ownership of the rights to the land's produce is not like owning the land itself, and therefore he cannot recite the psukim. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf of Machlokes is about a nether made publicly in the story of the Givonim? That's on daf Mem Vav. Good. Number 2. Which daf of Machlokes is regarding assessing damages, whether we assess according to the Mazik or the Nizak? That's on daf Mem Ches. Good. Number 3. Which daf of Machlokes is of Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf regarding bringing Bikurim and reciting the Bikurim psukim? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn that purchase money is refunded for land sold during Yovel? That's on daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss redeeming one who sold himself and his sons to idolaters 3 times? That's on daf Mem Vav. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn that there are 3 different great lands paid to 3 different types of creditors, the Nizak, the Balchov, and the Ksubas Isha? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have a case of a chesi shivcha who marries someone, becomes fully freed, and then marries someone else? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss the Yisrael Mumer who sold himself to cannibals and how Reish Lakish killed out all the cannibals? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you have a kinyan peres kinyan aguf regarding buying land while Yovel is in force? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss what the halacha is if an eved runs away from his master in Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf Memhei. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.